Tonight on Whiskey Waffle.
That, dear listeners, is our litany of excuses.
I bought two. Well done, Parsnick.
They're seal people, as in, like, seals.
We will happily
drink that free whiskey.
That's this episode on Whiskey Waffle, the podcast. I mean, cast.
You know what, dude? I think I've forgotten how to do this.
What is podcast? I not know.
How does one podcast?
Well, we do it this way. We do it as we always do, by just waffling at each other.
I know, just say random stuff.
That is what we are and who we are.
We are whiskey waffle, in fact. We can only do it properly if there is whiskey in the glass. You got a tiny bit left in that.
Yeah, I might actually need a top up.
Yeah. So Ted's just brought me some Tyrconnell, which is a fun one to say if you're Irish, and a difficult one to say if you're not. Tyrconnell.
Yes, which you very confidently told me was Scottish. Somewhere from Speyside, possibly a Strath Isla, which I said, absolutely incorrect.
Yes, you're very wrong. But then I detected that if it's not from Scotland, it's Ireland. And then I detected these rubbery notes, which means that it must be from the Cooley distilling group.
Cooley, burning rubber.
Yeah, Connemara is their obvious example, but yeah, some of their other ones do this as well. Kilbeggan is the cheaper version of it. But tell you what, I haven't thought about that sort of branch of the Irish whiskey scene for a little while.
Hey, so a shout out to all our listeners, particularly our Patreons. Hello, it's been a fair while.
I'm Nick, if you've forgotten.
Yeah, I'm Ted.
Yeah,
it's been a little while for various reasons. So one big one from my side of things is that I have been in America, the US of A, and plus a bit of time in Canada as well.
Yeah, Ted's been away for a month, and we're really excited to talk more about this. We discussed potentially that being the year opener episode, but we need to get our act together before we start confidently talking about American whiskey. So that's coming, people. That is coming.
For the Patreons, you hopefully would have seen the article I put up about my visit to Westwood, Westlands.
No.
Westlands in Seattle was shut, whereas Westwood...
it's an easy mistake.
Yeah. Westwood in Portland was very open, and they were absolutely lovely, amazing guys, and I'm very keen to have a longer chat with that one. And hopefully we are going to be able to get friend of the podcast and Patreon, Adrian,
and fellow podcaster
Adrian Graham onto the to talk about
that whiskey place, or banter over whiskey fame.
Yeah, get him to talk about America, because he has just been or is still there.
I think he's still there at the time of recording. Yeah, but he's been in a different part to you. So the American episode is coming up. We also thought we should open, as we traditionally do, with our awards episode. the problem is we actually have no idea who's receiving the awards yet, because we haven't sat down to chat about it.
Yeah, it's been so busy. So the other major bit of life eventage that has been happening is Nicholas has been moving house.
I know, and that's why you might even hear some creaking. Hang on, I'll get the microphone close.
Because we're on a boat.
Yeah, because we're in a boat. I've moved to a boat. No, we're no longer in the comfortable armchairs, because Ted and I picked up my comfortable armchairs and moved them to another house far, far away. Well, I say far, far away. It's a 40-minute drive, but it's not within walking distance, which we've lived for the previous 10 or more years.
I'm no longer living within sort of 10 minutes of you. So
yeah, so it's big life changes going on, which is very sad from a lot of perspective. Needed to happen from other perspectives, and there are definitely some pros and cons, but the con is that the old walk between each other's places is running out of being an option. However, we are still in the old place, because I haven't sold it yet. So we can squat.
if anyone would like a lovely house.
Yeah, a lovely house. But please. Yes, we're squatting in the old house. I'm sitting in the creaky rocking chair, and Ted's sitting on one of the chairs from the deck.
I'm on a very ratty deck chair, I'm very much hoping isn't going to suddenly fall through.
Like the other ones.
Yeah, so that's been keeping us pretty busy too. And the other thing that we have both been doing is that we are in a show together.
We are, yeah. It's one of our things that we do. We're theatre / music / just arts people in general, performers. And basically when we found a show that combined musical theatre and punk rock, we were sold from the start.
Yeah, so we are in Green Day's American Idiot, which, if you're interested, and if this comes out in time, I have no idea Nicholas is actually going to find the time to do this. But if you are in Burnie between the 1st and the 10th, it's on your shirt. 9th.
9th, yeah.
There you go. 1st and the 9th of March, come along and see us. Nicholas is the musical director and lead guitarist. Indeed. I am singing and dancing in various bits.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, it's... been keeping us very busy, basically 3 nights/afternoons a week. There goes all the free time that we dedicate to fun things like podcasting.
So that, dear listeners, is our litany of excuses as to why we're a bit late.
None of which is acceptable for you guys out there. I've been waiting for this episode for months, damn it. But that's what's been going on.
Been a bit of a busy start to the year. Hopefully after this, things will settle down a bit and we'll get back onto a bit more of a regular schedule, and we will be bringing you things such as the long anticipated and awaited Whiskey Waffle Awards, my adventures in America, and many other fascinating and waffly things.
We'll probably record a first episode from a new house as well, because Teddy's got his own little bedroom over there that he can come and stay. So, yeah, but this could be the last episode recorded in Whiskey Waffle HQ, where all the Whiskey Waffle podcasts have been recorded up until now.
Yeah. Well, actually, something that we did do together, it was a fun couple of days, is priorities. Nicholas moves into a new house.
Oh, yes.
One of the very first things we have to do is I helped him build some whiskey shelves.
Yes, install somewhere for the whiskey to go, because having it sitting on the floor in boxes was a bit too depressing. So
And then we looked at it and said, we could put more shelves up.
Yes.
And then Nick's wife was like, no more shelves, no more whiskey. We'll just wait till you're out.
Little does she know there's another dozen bottles sitting on the shelf still here.
It's
gotta have something to drink when I come back to this place.
We haven't finished with all the whiskey bottles.
Yes. we got more plans, but I know my wife won't listen to this, so I think we're pretty safe, Ted.
Yep.
Good stuff. Well, yes. So this isn't the awards episode then, Ted.
No, it's not the awards episode, and it is not what I did in my holidays.
No, so instead we've got a little topic that has been fascinating me of late, one that I wanted to share, and a couple of whiskeys I'm excited to try and excited to share with our Patreons. We're going to send them 2 whiskeys this month, because we haven't sent them one for about 6 weeks, so they're going to get 2 whiskeys to make up for lost time.
All right, well, let us saunter over to the whiskey shelf, pour ourselves a couple of drams, and have a little waffle.
Sounds good to me. Let's get started.
The waffle.
So you know what, Ted?
No.
You
but you're about to tell me.
2024 is an exciting year for Whiskey Waffle.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Why?
Because in October, this podcast turns 10 years old.
What?
Well, not the podcast. Okay, I take it back. But us being called a Whiskey Waffle.
I was going to say, we haven't been doing pod for 10 years.
I think we've been doing it for over 5, though.
Yeah.
But the Whiskey Waffle brand turns 10 in
2024. Yeah, 2014. End of 2014 was when we started.
That's right. And the old blog still holds firm, because I typed in a McHenry search term just recently on my phone. And the first two, one was the online shop. The second one was Drinks Tasmania. And the third one, whiskeywaffle.com.
Woo!
So we still hold a bit of sway in the Tasmania whiskey scene. So just looking up historical bottles, I suppose, but yeah.
One day we'll get back around to doing some more articles.
It'd be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we've been doing it for a little while, but you know who else has been doing things for a little while? At least good things, mostly, for the Keith Batt excluded, for the last little while, is the Tasmanian whiskey scene.
Oh, yeah, them.
Mm. So, obviously, we talk about, like, origins of lark.
Well, the origins of lark, that would be an egg, right?
But which came first, the lark or the egg?
A lark-like ancestor.
Indeed.
So Bill Lark distilling out in his shed.
Yes, that's right. Before the law had been changed.
Yeah.
So yeah, we talk about the origins quite a lot and the Cradle Mountains of this world and some of those early guys. But then there was another wave that came along And that these were the guys that existed when we started the blog and the podcast. So people like Overeem, people like Redlands, now Old Kempton, people like McHenry. And of course, Hellier's Road are a little bit older than those guys as well. But they were, you know, releasing whiskey just when we started doing this. So I feel like we were very much just beginning our whiskey journey as these guys were coming online.
Yeah, it's interesting. You say that Hellier's is a bit older than those guys, but they were, as you said, releasing whiskey alongside some of their younger contemporaries because of their strategy. They went the whole hog, built a really big distillery, got really big barrels in, which no one else was really doing in Tasmania at that time.
No, they couldn't afford to.
Yeah, couldn't afford. It was Hellier's Road has always been an outlier in the Tasmanian whiskey scene.
Yep. And so, yeah, in, I guess, those early days, and one big distillery we haven't mentioned so far is Sullivan's Cove. These guys were either just releasing whiskeys for the first time or getting internationally recognized for the first time in the case of Sullivan's, whom I just mentioned. But this was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Essentially 10 years ago when we were starting this journey and they were starting their own whiskey releasing journey.
Yeah.
If you will. So a lot can happen in 10 years. A lot has happened. How many distilleries are there in Tassie now?
I will have to consult David Taylor about that one. I'm sure he's probably got a number.
The number is greater than this now, but I'm going to say 100 because I know it was getting towards that and I think we've hit it by now.
Surely it must be more than that.
Yeah, and in terms of people releasing whiskey, you know, maybe half of those, not all of them have released it yet, but yeah, there would be at least 30 or 40 whiskey producers so far in the state. And most of those guys are still the small scale, like backshed distilling, or they're going to be releasing some big F-off huge releases in the future. But there are these guys that started the journey with us. Overeem, McHenry, Redlands, as it were, but now Old Kempton.
They're like family.
Yeah, basically. And we have very soft spots for these guys. We always used to consider Hartwood as one of the nine distilleries in the state back then, even though we didn't realize that they were more of an independent bottler. You couldn't really class them as that.
Yeah,
but these were the founding fathers, if you will. The
old gods.
Washington's, Jefferson's, and the guy that shot Hamilton. What's he called? I don't know.
Aaron Burr, sir.
Oh, yeah. He's not a face in the mountain either, is he? But one of the other guys. But these guys are now able, for the first time, to release some aged whiskey. Overeem have just released or have releasing a 12-year-old whiskey now, which is super, super exciting for those guys.
Yeah.
And finally, McHenry, who also follow the Hellier's Road path of having older aged whiskey, they've released a 10-year-old.
Yeah. I mean, there is, we know for a fact there is older stuff kicking around as well. We have personally, not to brag, but we've personally had a number of 18-year-old Tasmanian whiskies, which are hen's teeth.
Yes. And I have held in my hand a 21-year-old Tasmanian whiskey, which was sealed and unable to be tasted on that particular occasion. So there are definitely some older ones, but this is when we're only getting into those early boys. And in fact, there's probably only two distilleries that could lay claim to having whiskey that old, and they are... Tick, tick. You guys at home, use your brains. Who is it? Who is it, Ted?
Sullivan's Cove.
And?
Hellier's Road.
Indeed, indeed. Because it's not part of the Lark strategy either to produce whiskey of that age.
No. So,
do you know what Hellier's Road have released recently, Teddy Boy?
Sarin gas into the train tunnels.
That's what's going on with Bernie at the moment.
Yeah.
No, but also what they've released is... For the first time ever, a 12-year-old whiskey. Wait,
that's not right.
No, they have released a 12-year-old whiskey before, haven't they?
They have.
In fact, we've got two bottles sitting here in front of us. One in a rather attractive, short, squat bottle with a tan label and a little man hiking the wilderness just tucked around the corner.
Yep.
Hellier's Road with the number 12 on it. But
yeah.
Ted's got something a bit different over there.
I do. I have a tall, skinny bottle with a sad
man and a dog.
Sad man and a dog. That is looking very 2000s.
Mm-hmm. But crucially, Ted, does it have the number 12 on it?
It does. Mm. It does indeed.
So Hellier's Road, we were at the launch of that 12-year-old bottle.
We were. It was
a, it was a very early
Time. We met George Burgess there.
We did. And Jeff Kennett.
Jeff Kennett was
the guest speaker. Whiskey nerd Jeff Kennett. And we got an invite to his whiskey cave.
Yeah.
We never took him up on that.
He never followed up with us.
No.
Was it a Beyond Blue?
Yeah, it was Beyond Blue. Yeah. The president of that society. So, yeah, it was a good release night. And we've always been a fan of the original. It says original on it, so it's original in two ways now. But the original 12-year-old Hellier's Road release, we've always enjoyed. In fact, we've reviewed it on the podcast on one of the very first few episodes. I think maybe episode 2 or 3.
Yeah.
We reviewed this very whiskey. So now, in episode number... Emily, help me out.
Episode 66.
Thanks, Emily. We're going to be reviewing the new American Oak, aged 12 years.
Yeah.
That's just come out in the last few weeks.
Yeah, look, that event that we went to for the original 12-year-old, that must have been one of our first really big events that we ever attended as Whiskey Waffle, roving whiskey writers.
I know. Yeah, so that was fun times. Having said that, Hellier's Road doing some good things now. Like, they've won 4 awards just at the last Australian Whiskies Awards, and I want to throw a massive shout out to Fiona, so his new head distiller up there, and some of her creations have been getting awards, such as the Dark Harmony.
Yeah. There's a whole new team up there, and yeah, they're doing interesting things. The Dark Harmony, that was paired with a local beer from local brewery Communion, so you could go get a pint of Communion. It was a stout, I believe.
I think they only offered it in the schooners, but yeah.
And it was stout that had been
in some old Hellier's Road barrels.
Aged in Hellier's Road barrels, and then Hellier's Road was using the stout barrels.
Yep, got the barrels back afterwards. Yep,
to finish some whiskey off.
So yeah, that was a big creation of Fiona, so kudos to her. They also won the best 21-year or older in Australian whiskey.
was it because they were the only ones in the category?
I imagine it was a small pool.
Yeah. But before we get to that, I think just to finish on the topic that we've been talking about, the Tasmanian and Australian whiskey industry is starting to mature to a point that we will start seeing numbers on bottles.
Mm.
I think it's never really been an Australian thing to have a number on a bottle. It's age statements, the new non-age statements.
Maybe they are. Maybe they are. So you're right, Ted. This is just the beginning.
Yeah. Let's see where it leads us.
Mm. One thing is for certain, a Whiskey Waffle will be there.
Yeah.
Anywhere there is the opportunity for a free drink, we will cover it. We will happily drink that free whiskey.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know where the path is leading us at the moment.
Yes. It's time to talk about something a little bit different for us. Tasmania whiskey.
We've not done that topic before.
Never. I'm not as loud with my left hand. Yeah. This is my right hand, right?
Yeah.
Left hand.
Huh.
I'm a good clicker. I am a good clicker. That's one of my some people say many, some people say few talents. But yes. It's from counting in bands with click.
Yeah. It's fascinating how weak your left hand muscles are.
I know. It's like Zach, our bartender today with his cocktail making.
Yeah.
It's a lot of strength, but just in his cocktail hand.
What did you say? little crab.
Should have said soldier crab or something at least. Yeah. Yeah. Daddy's little soldier.
Daddy's little soldier crab.
I'll tell his dad that.
What are we doing?
I think we're talking about whiskey. Yes.
The whiskey.
So we've got the new Hellier's Road, the new 12-year-old in our glass. That is the subject of our review. And we've also poured ourselves the original 12-year-old Hellier's Road, which we've had for a little while now because it's not been for sale for a while now. So, yeah, we've only cracked both of them tonight, though. So, yes, both of them are 12 years old. Both of them have just been in American Oak ex-bourbon casks, except they've been released by different regimes.
Yeah, so... Talk to me about regime change.
Well, it's something that happens systematically in bipartisan politics every 8 years or so. But I don't think that's exactly what you had in mind. So
no, or in military juntas coming into power and overthrowing the legitimate government.
Yes, has not happened yet, but let's wait on the next election results. It was just a changing of the guard, a passing on of the baton, although there's been some, I guess, unintentional consequences, but we can leave that to the end if you like. Mm. But yeah, Helliers Road were founded by a bunch of dairy farmers, as we've mentioned so many times in this pod. But they're getting to the stage where these farmers are retiring and their children are taking over. And yeah, they've been very interested in the whiskey side of things and pushing on Helliers Road, even though some of the original distillers, that holy triumvirate of Mark, Sharon and Don, have all moved on.
They did a lot, though. Yeah. They did ridiculous amounts.
Because it was all the dairy farming side of things as well. But yeah, basically they focused down on the whiskey, got a new team in, and the new team have really, knuckled down and focused on getting Helliers Road out to the world, because tell you what, they've got the infrastructure there to produce a bloody good product. And they've started by rebranding. It's a lovely new label. We talked about this in a podcast maybe 10 pods ago. Yeah.
I know that so a lot of the new management has been quite critical of the old structure of what was being released, the percentages that are being released at, the ages that they're being released at. I mean, I know that one of the newer people who's since left, but they were like, why the hell are we releasing the original, which is, I don't know, about 7 years old or something. But then I think the original and plus successive ones, like the age statements as well, they were creeping up in age because they were trying to still make the same stuff, but their stocks of those sort of age points were running out.
Yeah.
And so they're having to use older stocks or younger anyway, stocks, and
so there was definitely some flawed decision making. Having said that, like, I'm not going to be critical of the old regime, and I'm also not going to be 100% praising the new regime, but I think there's actually some good things happening just in general, and I am excited for the new direction, but I'll also say that the old crew did a good job as well. So but which do I like better? Well, we're about to find out.
Yeah, look, and you sort of said that, right, we know for a fact, having met her a number of times, that, say, Fiona has got a massive amount of passion for what she's doing.
Yeah, and she has basically been on the steepest learning curve and has stepped up so massively, and now is bringing this, you know, sleeping giant of a distillery, you know, to the world, which is super exciting. One point I am going to make here, though, with our two whiskeys in our glasses, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Because here we are with American Oak 12-year-old release from, the past and from the future. And, I've just had a slurp, of the new kid on the block, the new release. And I do get a lot of those classic Helliers notes. I suddenly get butterscotch. I suddenly get shortbread.
Yeah.
And I get oil.
I will say, I think that the new stuff, maybe it's because it's the new, just feels a bit fresher. It's got a lighter, fresher, grassier note to it.
It's so interesting going back again, because like when I first smelt the new one, and I thought this was pretty classic Helliers Road, and I started listing off those tropes that we talk about. Then I went to the second one. I thought, okay, yep, it's got a bit of that too. Maybe a bit more burnt butter alongside of that, like a bit of butterscotch caramel. And then I went back to the new one again. And all of a sudden, it smelled completely different.
Yeah.
I was getting all of this sort of straw hay notes.
Grassy straw hay.
Yeah.
I get less of that classic, what we consider classic buttery Helliers Road off the new one. It's lighter, greener. I'm not saying green in the way of like a very undercooked Australian whiskey, but it's more like a summer meadow.
Yeah, it's
got lots of rabbits in it.
Yeah, so they might drive away in the drive-in tonight, but it's another matter. But I actually do still get some of those classic Helliers Road notes, even though I'm going back to it, noticing different stuff. I would definitely pick this out as a Helliers Road, shelf. Like, some of the new ones, like the double cask, even I was surprised by. So, yeah. Whereas this is pretty classic Helliers Road.
Cannot comment on the 21.
No, neither of us can. The interesting thing is, like, we're talking about like for Helly's Road skeptics to go back and see where they're at now. Like, is this the whiskey that's going to change their mind? Or is this just like a more refined version of what they've been doing?
Yeah, it's interesting actually that I will actually say that the old one tastes a bit duller on the palate.
Right, well, I haven't got to the old one yet, so I've only been drinking the new one. Mm. So the original,
so I've just,
you may say.
Yeah, I've just had a sip of the OG, and yeah, it's maybe not quite the same zinc.
Definitely, they're definitely different. It's subtle. Definitely getting a darker undertones.
Yeah.
I can't talk about any...
Which one? The older one?
The older one.
Yeah. I get more like lemon zest from the new one, yep, on the palate.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas the older one, yeah, you're right. It has a darker, softer...
Mm. It's funny that you you mentioned the previous, like, I guess the interim management. We haven't had a chat with Derek yet, who's the current management, and obviously we chatted with Fiona in some length about what's going on behind the scenes. But there was an interim manager that we had some good chats with, and he was the one that had the quote about why they're releasing it, these percentages, blah blah blah. Would you like to read out what percentage the new one is being released at, Teddy Boy?
I would.
Yep.
It is at 46.2%.
Indeed. And so would you like to hazard a guess as to what the original 12-year-old might be released at?
93%.
Yes. We're back on those weird percentages again, though.
Yeah. No, 46.2%.
Is correct, yes. They're both the exact same percentage.
You said it before that the more things change, the more they stay the same.
I know. So I think what they're trying to set out to do, I don't think they're trying to reinvent the wheel with this new whiskey. I think they're just trying to bring
put new tread on the tires.
Yeah, I think they're just trying to bring this one back into the fold because it's something we've always liked, and I still like it, drinking it right now. They're definitely slightly different,
yeah.
But they're definitely only subtly different. And that's the exciting thing about sharing this with our Patreons as well, that they'll be able to stick them side by side and have a bit of a taste of both of them. And if you don't like Helly's Road, you're probably going to hate us this time around because we've given you two of almost the same whiskey, but not quite.
Yeah. Tell you what I was having the other day. I think I did tell you. I was having some of my port cask release from back in the day.
Yeah,
that,
yeah.
That is still a great
long
drop.
Long since killed that one.
That is what I would consider one of the, like, the real peak classic earlier.
Well, I can give you this an exclusive, Ted. They're bringing out a new one soon.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah, it's just about come online. About it might be going up to the on the tour.
Yeah.
But there's some good stuff up on the tour barrels at the moment. So yeah, there's a 17-18-year-old up there at the moment.
I still really like that port cask release. It's got all the right notes in it.
Yeah, so this brings me to another point that I want to make, Ted. Do you remember how much this one cost? For the listener, I'm holding up the old original.
Oh, the 12 was... It did go over 100. I think it was like 120 or something.
Yeah, I'd say it was between 120 and 140, possibly close to the 120. Do you know how much the new one costs?
It's going to be more or less.
Oh, yes.
Much more?
Mm, yeah.
200?
Higher.
Really?
Yeah.
250?
Tiny bit higher.
Really?
Yes.
260,
270?
260,
yeah.
260, really?
Mm. Yes, indeed. So you've seen a restructuring of the prices as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Well, we've always considered Helly's Road to be on the cheaper side. Like, we've always been like, shit.
I know.
Compared to some of these other Tasmanian releases, like...
Well, exactly. And we've talked already in this episode about, you know, releasing these overeams and McHenry's and whatnot, 12-year-old sort of things. But yes, this one is 260. And like one of the things that we were like scratching our heads slightly about with the new Helly's Road range, there's like a bottle that like the double wood is quite affordable at that sort of 110 mark. And then there's one that's like 130, one that's 150. And then the next one is like 850. I was like, well, that escalated quickly.
Yeah.
Whereas this one is, yeah, definitely close to the first end, but you can sort of see it's a jump.
Yeah.
Basically, you're not going to be getting a 12-year-old whiskey for that sort of price anymore. But like I can absolutely understand the price increase. Do I think that the new whiskey is twice as good as the first one? No. But I'm also viewing them from different contexts. Yeah. Like the original was just like pushing a little bit further from a company that was releasing sub 100 whiskey, whereas now this is someone that's trying to, you know, be taken seriously and like sometimes, you know, to be worth that much, you actually have to charge that much, which is doesn't make any sense. But then when you think about it from a business sense, it actually does.
Yeah, they're going into new territory. They're rebranding themselves. They're trying to put themselves out there as more of a luxury brand.
What they're trying to do is they're trying to own the age statement market in Australia. And they're the best place distillery to do it, and especially the overage stuff. So
they've got the stocks there.
Yeah, exactly. You know, this is why they're going to win the best 21 and over year old category, because, you know, who are they competing against? And they can release a couple of different ones. And I think they're absolutely going to do that. And I think they deserve it because they've worked hard. They put in the hard yards to get to this point. Like we've been saying already, there's going to be a few others coming into this sort of 12-year-old space. But, well, let's just quickly jump in with it. Overeem 12-year-old, price prediction?
320.
Higher.
350?
Higher.
400.
Close enough, 395.
Shit.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean,
I'd love to own one.
I'd love to own one as well, yeah. So, but Overeem, like, podcast car strength is more close to that 260 mark. Obviously going to charge more for that, but because they've already released stuff at that price, it's less of a surprise. Yeah. Like, yeah, and that's why I'm saying if you want to be worth that, you have to charge that. Mm. I don't think in any way that the new whiskey is twice as good as the old whiskey. I think if anything, it's maybe 10% better.
Yep.
But there's probably going to be a few of our Patreons that are like, nah, original. I think this is better because it is just slightly different. Mm. And possibly it depends on what you've tried second.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah, it's just... just a space to watch. Who do you think is going to be the first mainland distillery to produce a 12-year-old?
It's probably going to be one of those. I mean, Starwood probably has the brand power and the stocks and stuff. But it could be something like Bakery Hill or...
Bakery Hill is a really good shout.
Yeah.
Bakery Hill or Lineburners, like maybe they've got something sitting around.
One of those older ones that's been sitting around for a little while. Just ticking away, and they'll suddenly pop out with a 12-year-old.
Yeah, yeah. Hootree.
Yeah.
Tim Boone.
Yeah, well, the other one, I was thinking Bakery Hill or Tim Boone.
Yeah. Some of these guys that have been there from the start.
Black Cock.
Yeah, I don't think they exist anymore, so.
Not shame.
Under that name, like the distillery does, but yeah. No, so I think they're still a little way off. Like, you know, they've always been playing catch up, the mainland whiskey scene. So, wait a little bit longer, but yeah, then when the big boys start getting online, we shall see. But, I don't know who's pushing into that space yet. There's not many people muscling in. I think it'll be a Helly's Road versus Sullivan's Cove shoot off for a lot longer just yet.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Because this is an official review, we must give them a score out of 5.
Yes, the American Oak 12-year-old.
Versus the American Oak 12-year-old.
Yeah, I can't even remember what we said the original one was. But I've got a feeling that we may have given it 4 stars, and yet I'm sort of more inclined to give the new one 3 stars now, even though I said it was 10% better.
Yeah, look, I think they're both 3s.
Yeah.
I don't think I can justify going up higher than that.
I know, but I'll have to go and listen back to that episode now. And you guys at home, you can do this as well and see what the heck we were talking about when we first started this podcast.
We have no idea.
No, we have no idea. But that's one of the fun things, like people's opinions change. So, yeah, but I think that this is a 3-star whiskey despite being 10% better than a potential 4-star whiskey from 2018.
Bad news.
Uh-oh.
It's got a wax seal.
Oh, we're going to be here for a very long time.
No, but it's a wax seal with a knob on it.
That hasn't helped you in the past. Let's see how Ted goes with he's having luck.
Oh, no. It's peeling.
Oh, Ted. This is not going to be a coming-of-age moment.
This is not going to be the Michelle Kavar again.
No. Can he get the top off, though? Can he get the knob off?
Well, no, I can't get it off my hand.
Let's see. Oh, he's done it. That Here we was go. Full credit. Here. Record time. New world record, people. New PB. Well done, PB. Ted. Well done.
For a wax seal.
Fresh meat! Fresh meat!
This was going to be a whiskey would you rather, but...
It's fresh meating.
We'd diversion to fresh meat a bit, because I'm just getting a really interesting cupcake note in my nose.
It's not a bad nose. Look at the colour on that. Mm. You just don't get that colour in Australia or New World anywhere, really.
The colour is a very pale straw.
Oh, I don't know what it is about the Scottish, but they just seem to be able to get these really beautifully pale. And, it's this thing that people go, oh, you want a really rich, dark whiskey, but sometimes I'm just oh, that's so nice and
pale. That's because we've been conditioned that, caramel colouring, that's the standard whiskey. This is what whiskey should look like.
Yeah.
Whereas, this is what whiskey actually... This is the natural whiskey.
Yeah, this and if I see that
colour... No makeup, Ted. No makeup.
Yeah. Well, if I see that colour, I'm usually it's going to be...
This one's real.
Oh, it's an Ardbeg. Oh, it's a Brooklady or a Bunnahabhain. It's But no, this one has no smoke.
Yeah, but you know what the thing is with this whiskey?
I get that cupcake note, though.
We'll talk about what the actual whiskey is, but it's kind of irrelevant for this discussion, is because this is what a spirit-driven young whiskey smells like in Scotland. We're not used to this note that we're smelling. That's why we're so fascinated by it, because this is not what New Make Spirit leads to in Australia and Tasmania. No. But there's a lot of young spirit in here. This is released too early, although we haven't had a sip yet, so maybe it is. But this is a very spirit-driven whiskey. But spirit in a completely different new make sort of way.
Yeah. I will say it's got an absolutely delicious nose to it. It's I can see exactly where you're coming from. It's like pink or white Woolies cupcakes.
Mm, yeah. So I'll put this out there, and I reckon there's a few of our listeners that'll follow this. You know how new make spirit is quite tasty to drink?
Yes, I do, and I try to find it where I can.
Exactly. And I'm sure a bunch of our followers and listeners have gone to some distilleries and tried the new make and thought, I could actually sit down and drink this.
There's custard in here too.
But you know what? In Scotland, I have also tried new make spirit, and most of it's been bloody awful.
Yeah, okay.
Almost undrinkable. Like some of the Isla ones, they're peated, obviously. Mm. But my tour at Aberlour, sitting there with the new make spirit, I didn't even finish the dram. Mm. And that's not just because I had six others lined up after it, but it just didn't appeal to me in any way, because it was a completely different flavor to the sort of stuff that we're producing on it, Peter Bailey stills and whatever. But no, it's very rare that I find a new make spirit in Tasmania and Australia that I've not enjoyed.
We do really make
Starwood make a good one as well.
Good.
But we've had some really classy ones, like the Western Tears, and we've had, obviously some...
I'll tell you what, the Westwood that I had recently in America was...
That is some good stuff.
They did a really good... And it made me think of Australian stuff.
Yep. But in Scotland, it's not built to drink straight away, and that's because it's not built to drink straight away. It's meant to age in barrels for probably 12 years.
Bad new make makes good whiskey.
Potentially. It makes characterful whiskey. Mm. It needs the aging. It needs the barrels. Yeah. And no Scottish distiller would ever be super excited to show people their new make spirit in the way that Tassie whiskey distilling nerds are.
Try my new make.
Yeah, yeah. This is not a blanket rule. There are some amazing Scottish new makes, I'm sure. But they just have this distinct flavour. But when they start getting a bit of age on it, you can really see where they're going. And I can see where this is going.
Cantaloupe.
Cantaloupe. Oh, I just think this is an exciting flavour. Do I think this is like a finished whiskey? No, and that's probably why I'm excited about it. This is like a young, exciting, vibrant...
Well, it's 11 years old, so...
Is it 11 years old?
Yeah. Yeah,
Is it been in fifth fill barrels or something?
I don't know, but it is 11 years old. It is from Inchgower.
Inchgower.
And it is part of the... I don't know if people have seen this around. I saw them online about a year or so ago and was like, oh, I want to buy all of those. And then...
It's because they have pretty labels.
Yeah.
It's an indie release with a pretty label.
It's Ted an indie release with a pretty label. And they would look so good on my shelf. Anyway, when I was coming back in from the US... Or actually, Canada, technically. I was in Sydney duty free, and I was looking around. I was like, "Oh, they've got a big series of Fables here, and there's all sorts of different ones." This I did a little bit of research, and this one seemed to come up as a good pick. Inchgower 11. So Inchgower is distillery far north of Speyside, about as far north as you can get. It's right up on the sea on that top coast of Speyside. Mm. Yeah, I don't really know much that it.
Yeah, Fable is the indie name.
Yeah, the Fables have got these really cool black and white boxes. If you scan the QR code, it will take you to a thing that they use like myths and legends of different.
Is there a myth or a legend involved with this one?
This one is called the Labyrinth.
So this is the Minotaur.
Yeah. It's called the Labyrinth, and it's something about the Ghost Piper of Clanyard Bay.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know what that is because I haven't actually scanned the QR code.
Yeah, yeah. Do you see what I mean when I'm talking about, like, young Scottish whiskey?
Yeah. It's
like, I really like some of the stuff that's going on there, but gosh, it's it does challenge me in some way because, like, the alcohol is very high and, you know, it's spicy, it's zingy across the tongue. And yeah, it's got these sort of dusky, powdery, and again, vanilla cupcakes.
I don't think there's much going on in the way of like sherry or port or anything. I think it's all
bourbon in this case.
All bourbon. You said, is it like fifth fill? I don't know if it's fifth fill, but maybe there's some second fill.
Third fill. Yeah.
Or third fill in there.
Well, if it's 11 years old.
Yeah, it's definitely riffing a lot more on that spirit character, though.
Mm. I think it's one that I sit on for a long time. Like, if we're playing Smash Session or Savor, this is Savor more than anything else.
There is a sweetness on the palate that is the sweetness out of new make spirit. You're right there. Mm-hmm. It's that light. In this case, it's not Degrassi. It's almost a fruity sweetness.
Yeah.
But you're right in that it's that. That spirit sweetness. It makes me think of that sweetness that you get like when the spirit when it's coming off the still, it changes from the heads to the hearts, and you get the hearts, and the hearts have this just sort of innate sweetness that you can just tell it's the good stuff before it then gets into the mankier flavors, of the faints, the types. Yeah, it's great. I love it. Based on this, I definitely want to get more Fables.
Ted knows they look good on the shelf.
Because, you saw some of the other labels and you're like, oh, look at this one, look at this one.
Yeah,
I'm like they were there too. You would, just imagine a shelf of those. I don't know. Has anyone else tried any of the other Fables? There's a whole bunch of different Scottish distilleries from them. It'll be interesting to hear.
I've sampled some of Aesop's, but that's about it.
Yep. The rest of them are from one particular distillery at words for that. It's a single malt. I forgot that for a minute.
Whiskey. Would you rather?
How much did the old Aesop's Fables cost you, Teddy Boy?
I cannot remember. It was definitely over 100. Yeah. I don't think any more than 200. It was somewhere in that vicinity. So plus or minus $100.
Yep. Well, in that case, this is your Whiskey Would You Rather, Ted.
Okay.
Whiskey Would You Rather, buy two bottles for $100 each or one bottle for $200?
Ooh.
And I know this is very, very, very broad. You can go, you know, so many different qualities in both of these categories. But
I mean, if you put me back 10 years ago to when we were first starting Whiskey Waffle, it would probably be two bottles at 100.
Yeah.
Because there were some bloody good bottles that were going for around that $100 mark.
You're not wrong.
Less than $100. Like, Balvenie 12. About 90 to 95 bucks, I think.
For a quarter cask.
Yeah. Occasionally, I think you get a Lagavulin 16 for under 100 bucks.
Actually,
I think that was generally more like the 110 mark. And we're like, that's the fancy one.
Actually, a little aside about Lagavulin 16. Like, I was packing boxes to the new house and I was like, what's in this one? I was like, I don't think I taped this up, and I pulled it open. There was like all the cornstarch packing beads in there. I was like, what's in here? And I pulled out, it's Lagavulin 16-year-old. I forgot I bought a bottle of that because I saw it on special. I thought, this is the last one that I'll buy. It's like, there's something else in here. And I fiddled around in there and I was like, pulled it out. It's another bottle of Lagavulin 16-year-old. I bought two.
Yeah.
Well done, past Nick.
Yeah. Well done, past Ted as well. Past Ted also bought two bottles.
Yeah.
Except mine are unpacked. I know exactly where they are.
Yeah. Well, just in further aside on that, like when I was getting into the whiskey space, I had two bottles tucked into my arm and one of the lids opened up and fell out and landed on the concrete. It did not break.
Shit. Unlike
your Glenfarclas. 15-year-old.
17,
yeah.
Didn't even fall on the pavement and just like clinked against another bottle at exactly the wrong angle.
Yes, but no, fortunately, my Lagavulin and 16-year-olds are still intact.
Mm.
Yes. So, yeah, traditionally 200s. Is that still the case?
Yeah. One bottle at 200 or two bottles at 100.
Same outlay.
Yeah. I mean, these days 200 is the new 100, and there are some really good bottles that you can get for that 200 price, and like, and the ones that I like, the look of, have all got pretty labels, and they're all around that $200 price. But you know what? I think I'd actually go for two bottles at 100. I think there's some decent drams still to be decent drams still to be had at that 100 price, and as a bonus, you get a whole extra bottle for your money. So
yep,
I would go the two bottles for 100.
Yeah.
What would you do? That one special bottle at 200, or two bottles of cheap and cheerful.
You've kind of hit the nail on the head in terms of my thinking. Like, because if I was to ask myself two bottles of $125 whiskey or one bottle of $250 whiskey, I would absolutely go two bottles of $125. Yeah. But the way that things are creeping up, is, you know, is my $100 price point going to be enough, or is $200 kind of like where I know that I'm going to get something that's awesome? But yeah, $100 is not what it used to be.
No, it is not.
Mm. So I would probably go one bottle of $200 whiskey, but if I'd bump it up slightly.
I'll share. Mm. We can sort of drink lots of my two $100 whiskeys, and we'll have the occasional dram of your $200. Mm.
But yes, once you get to 125 versus 250, that's where it changes for me.
Yeah. Mm. No, that's fair. 250 does seem that extra bit more.
Yeah. No, that's right. Well, having said that, the Heather's Road at 12-year-old is now greater than that. And the only reason I bought it is because I had a voucher. Thank you very much. Retirement present from school. Well, retirement, I suppose. Did I retire? I don't know. Resignment present.
Yeah, resignment. Yeah. You're not retired.
No.
Well, there you go. What would you folks do? Two bottles at 100 or one bottle at 200?
One last call for alcohol. So finish your whiskey or beer. But in our case, whiskey.
Yeah.
It is closing time, yeah.
Would you like a little dram?
I like a little closing time dram, but
okay.
What am I going to do with it? Well, drink it, obviously, but... Oh, he's brought it. I did request this one.
Yeah, well, you did ask for it, so I thought it was only fair that we brought it out.
Yeah, well, we haven't talked about this on the released pod yet, so...
No.
I haven't released the chat that went on about this one, which might see the light of day one day.
Yeah. Was that when we... the meat
armchairs
tray?
Armchairs on the deck, yeah.
Yeah, the meat tray.
So, yeah, this is one of 20-odd bottles that we cracked in one day.
So, the dram we are finishing up with tonight, we've cracked through a few drams, this session.
Good times.
So, this is called the Selkie, and is not the same as the Silkie, which is...
Irish whiskey that we received a dram of.
They're both riffing on the same thing. So, Silkie, Selkie... Which I said to you at the time that we drank the Silky.
Yeah.
I thought it was pronounced Selky. So they're like they're seal people who in like
Silky.
Celtic mythology. They're seal people, as in like seals.
Mm-hmm.
They live as seals in the sea, and then when they come onto land, they transform into people, and they're sort of
let's not beat around the bush. Yeah. They're mermaids.
Yeah, sort of. If you like your mermaids looking like seals,
she doesn't look like a seal on the front of this bottle.
I believe I've just got this sort of faint memory that when they come ashore, they take their skin off, like they shed their seal skin, and if you steal the skin, they'll be bound to land forever, and you can like marry them or something, and like they'll leave their skin, their seal skin on the shore, and yeah, you can steal it. Anyway, but Selkie is a so Silky was the Irish brand.
Yep.
Did a couple of different releases. They were okay. Selkie is a independent blended malt.
Mm.
So blended. I don't think we actually ever knew what was in it,
but it's definitely from the islands.
It's definitely from the islands,
and specifically Isla, I reckon.
And yeah, it's got something smoky in there, and it is pretty bloody delicious. And it's also got a very good looking
mermaid.
Well, mermaid. She doesn't have a tail.
Well, no, she doesn't. She but has no, legs. No, she's look, a mermaid with
I've
legs.
I've literally just realized what they're. I thought it was just a blanket around her waist, but no, it's a sealskin.
It is a sealskin. Yes.
Yeah, yeah, and actually going. I was right. The mythical Selkie shifts its shape from seal to human by shedding its sea pelt, and is said to be so beautiful in human form that any mortal would desire to have one for a partner. Maybe I was just remembering reading the back of the bottle. No, I definitely knew that before. But that had a lot of S's in it to say.
Yes.
It was quite tricky. And I will pour some now. You've been looking at me longingly for a little bit.
Nah, you flatter yourself, Ted. I've been looking at the bottle.
Yeah. It's a beautiful bottle. It's got a really...
Yeah, she is. Well, a quick 30-second summary of your tasty notes of the Selkie Teddy Boy before we wrap up this pod.
It's on the sweet peat side of things. Mm-hmm. Plenty of seaweed in there on the nose. Happy peat snort.
Yeah.
The palate, again, sweet, oily, quite rich. Not too fumey at all. It's 50%, but it doesn't hit like that.
No. Just quickly from me, I'd say you've had a bonfire on the beach. You've gone to bed. It's burned out. The tide has come in, washed over them. It's gone out again. And then you've come down the next morning. You've picked up one of those logs and taken a big old bite.
Yep.
That's what I get. Final conversation topic for the night. What were one of the unintended side effects of Helly's Road being passed to a new generation? What happened?
I'd like to give a big dirty shout out.
A dishonourable mention.
Dishonourable mention to Bega.
Bega.
Bega cheese. Yeah. Yeah. Bega cheese. I'd been thinking of this all night, and I was meant to put it in a couple of times, but right time to do it.
Yeah.
I'd like to give a dishonourable mention to Bega cheese. For shutting down the Bet Milk Factory in Burnie and relocating all their services to Hobart.
Yes, the factory in Burnie where all the milk comes to and then distributes around the state. Where
best,
all the,
best milk in
best
Tasmania.
Best milk in Tasmania.
Best milk in the world.
Yes, their best milk. Mm. Well, you know, best milk in Tasmania goes without saying. It's also the best milk in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, the factory has actually been part of... Burnie for 70 years and bloody Bega is going to shut it down.
Dominating the sales for a majority of those 70 years.
Yeah.
You know, this is Tasmania's milk based out of Burnie.
Yeah. Instead of just upgrading their facilities
and
continuing employing, I think it was like 21 people are going to lose their jobs.
Yeah, I think at least 21. I thought it might have been even more.
Yeah. And yeah, sending it down south.
Mm-hmm.
Bad form.
Shut those guys down south and bring everyone else up here in the northwest. Like, this is where the base of facilities is. Doesn't need to be down south.
I don't want to drink that southern muck.
No.
Boo.
Boo. Bad form. Boo. So, yes, that is an unintended consequence in the moving on of Helly's Road. Well, ironically, Helly's Road didn't move on. It was the milk factory that moved on to a interim Tasmanian owner, and then it's moved on now to a mainland owner. And that mainland owner... have done us a dirty.
Yeah.
Maybe we should send out a little 30ml sample bottle of better milk before it moves down south.
Yeah.
It might not be any good by the time it gets there. Or maybe it's fermented. Maybe you'll get your own alcohol.
But you know what doesn't go out of fashion?
Whiskey.
Whiskey.
Yes. Yeah, yes. Absolutely.
we're not Milk Mumble. We are Whiskey Waffle. And... we will continue to talk to you and report on much whiskey related content.
Yes, we will. Yes, we will.
Anyway, I was Ted.
And I was not Ted. Because I was Nick. Nick. Yeah. That's the reason. Keep on waffling.
And good night.
Whiskey Waffle recommends you drink whiskey responsibly and only if you're above the legal drinking age in your country. Our lawyers made us say that. Or at least, they would have if we actually had lawyers.
I know my wife won't listen to this, so I think we're pretty safe, Ted.